Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Following On, and it was the third time unlucky for England. After losing both the Test Series and T20 Series, they have lost the One Day International Series as well. I'm Mark Butcher, and over the next 25 minutes or so, I'll be joined by the former England bowlers Darren Goff and Gareth Batty, as well as current England bowler Kate Cross, to dissect all the major talking points from today's action from Pune, where India beat England by just 7 runs. We'll discuss some brilliant batting from the Indian top order, and then an England innings that never really got going until Sam Curran gave the visitors a bit of late hope, but it was all to no avail. As well as this, we'll get reaction from both camps. You're listening to Following On here on TalkSport 2. Yes, very warm welcome to Darren Goff, Gareth Batty and Kate Cross, last but certainly not least. What a game, all three of you bowlers. You all lament the fact that the pitches are too small, and what, pitches are too good, the boundaries are too small, the balls don't do anything, but it was the bowlers that won that one for India, would you say?
Well, fantastic game of cricket, a great advert for 50 over cricket. People say it's dying, but this game, I absolutely adore it. I think it's a magnificent test of your skill over 50 overs. We've seen some magnificent cricket, whether it be from India with a batting, from Rishabh Pant striking the ball, from Hardik Pandya, and then we've just seen an absolute spectacle from Sam Curran with a bat, coming in when England basically were out of the game. And Sam Curran has taken the Indian bowlers to the cleaners. Unfortunately, just when it counted, those last two overs, he just lost his rhythm. Some excellent bowling from Indians, deaf bowlers. But what a magnificent game of cricket.
Yeah, was quite brilliant. So there are two schools of thought, playing off against one another. Communism and capitalism, if you like. The England method of go hard from the top, and blitz down whatever there is in front of you. The Indian method of playing a little bit more conservative, keeping wickets in hand. That's that method that seems to have won out on Indian pitches and Indian conditions. Gareth, what are your thoughts? Have England made big errors in the way that they've gone about these run chases, or have India simply been too good?
No, I think you add in some different personnel. We sort of spoke off air that you chuck Joe Root into that team to give you a bit of stability in the chases. Wow, they can chase down anything, because the striking capabilities of England are phenomenal, and they probably in the top three probably outgun India. As a player, you want to be more the way that India played, because you feel like you're going to be more consistent. Oh, but if I'm watching it, I want to watch England every single day of the week. It's amazing.
Saying that though, Bat, so you put Joe Root into it, I totally agree, it makes England better, but you also put Jadeja and Bumrah into the Indian side, and even Shami, and it becomes a totally different game again.
Yeah, but we chuck Archer in as well, don't we? So we sort of nullify a couple of their boys with the ball. With Archer, he's world-class, he gets in any team. Root, world-class. No, I mean, it's mouth-watering, isn't it, that these two teams play against each other with a full complement. Wow. I mean, we're going to have one. This has been an amazing series, but just imagine that. I mean, that's even better, isn't it?
Kate, the bowlers, I think, came out of this game with top billing, over and above the batsmen. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I think going back to your earlier question, I think India, the batsmen set the game up for them. I think the way Rishabh Pant batted. We spoke a little bit about the intent that India didn't show in the first two one-dayers in their first 10, but that was kind of counteracted today by Sharma and Dhawan, I thought. But then, actually, they said at halftime that it was down to the loose bowling from the England boys. So, I think I was on commentary with 15 overs to go in that game, and I thought that that was India's to lose. And at that point, they nearly did. You know, they dropped three pretty simple catches. I think there was a bit of sloppy cricket in there, but I think Sam Curran, I feel sorry for him that he didn't manage to get England over the line, because he certainly deserved to. But I think it was more the batters today.
Do you think 4 for 67 for Thakur, 3 for 42 from Bhuvaneshwar Kumar in a game where over 650 runs were scored?
Yeah, but saying that, I thought Thakur was absolutely superb, and he has been throughout the series with the ball, by the way, his variation. But one player he's found it difficult to bowl against has been Sam Curran in this one-day series. And his over gave England a big, big chance to get back into here. And that final of over is where he went for three boundaries, didn't he? Four boundaries that put England then favourites to win the game. It was only the last two overs, really, where India got on top of it. But what a fantastic game. And when it comes down to nerves, you know, when it comes down to nerves, the nerves shown there by India's fielders, it just goes to show. We all get nervous on a Saturday, club cricketers, but it just shows it happens at international level as well.
Yeah, I mean, you imagine if there'd been a crowd in, you know, there's nobody there in the stands, and players are still feeling the tension, feeling the heat. A man who very rarely feels any sort of tension, or at least outwardly anyway, is England's stand-in captain, Joss Butler, who's joining us. Joss, thank you very much for your time. Can you hear me out there?
I can, yes. How you doing?
Yeah, not so bad, not so bad. One heck of a one-day international. Unfortunately, England didn't quite have enough to get over the line. How did you see today?
Yeah, obviously disappointed there not to get over the line, but it took a fantastic innings from Sam Curran to get us to close. A great game. I thought there was some mistakes made on both sides really throughout the game. I think to start with the ball, we let India get away a little bit and dragged it back. They got away from us again, and then we dragged it back well at the end, and we were quite comfortable chasing that score. Obviously, the last few games we've seen that sort of be about a par score, and we just never quite got the big partnerships going in the chase. We had some soft dismissals and lost some wickets when we were threatening to get partnerships going, but it took an outstanding effort from a very talented young man to take it so close.
Yeah, we'll get more on Sam Curran from you in a second. Just can you fill us in on the situation with yourselves in the field when India were 157 for four? Was Mark Wood was off the field then? Was there an issue with Mark being able to bowl? Because it seemed as though that might have been an ideal time perhaps to try and go for the kill when Hardik came to the crease to join Rishabh Pant.
Yeah, obviously it's been incredibly hot here, and Mark Wood had been feeling a bit unwell. He'd spent some time off the field, and then he then couldn't bowl for however long he'd been off for. So, of course, we'd have loved to have brought Woody back earlier. We pegged them back well after the start they got with those wickets with the spinners. And then Pandya played well again, and then we dragged it back again at the end. So, Mark Wood bowled fantastically well, and it's just a shame we couldn't get him to bowl earlier, yes.
Yeah, sorry. It was difficult to sort of know exactly what was happening from back here, but we surmise that might be the case, but it was just good to get it from the horse's mouth, as it were. So 329 at the halfway point. As you rightly said, you guys chased down the target 2 days ago with plenty of overs to spare. There must have been a thought, pitch is a good one. We've got a very, very good chance of doing the same thing again.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very confident in chasing that score down. And actually, throughout the whole chase, even though we lost all those wickets, the run rate was never really going to be the issue. So we had some soft dismissals, I think, when we look back and some poor... made some poor mistakes really when we were threatening to get partnerships going, and that's always going to hurt you in these games. Outstanding effort from Sam Curran to show that maturity and skill. We're all very proud of him, and it's a shame that he couldn't quite get us over the line in that last over.
Where does Sam sit now in the pecking order? I mean, obviously, both teams have not been at absolute full strength throughout the course of this series. Sam is somebody who perhaps has not really had much of a run in one-day international cricket. Is he somebody that you're thinking, well, this is another great addition to the squad, or does it look as though he might find himself with one of the permanent shirts in your side?
Yeah, that's probably questions for the coach and the captain full time. But you know, he's done himself no harm, has he? You know, I think throughout this tour, there's been opportunities for guys. You know, there's a few guys who aren't here in this squad, so that's given opportunities to some others, and they've come in and done really well, and will have gained valuable experience. You know, it's been a big plus of the one-day cricket in England to expand the pool of players who are capable of playing at this level. And Sam will have gained huge amounts of experience from playing in that. And obviously looking forward to the IPL, we've got a lot of guys who will gain big experience from that. So the more we can expand that talent pool, the more competition for places there is in the side, that should push the levels of our performance higher and higher.
Great stuff, Josh. Thank you for talking to us. Get some rest before the IPL starts. I guess you're not coming back, are you?
No, I'm not. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
No worries. Thank you. Okay, Josh Butler there, England's standing captain after the end of a pulsating ODI series in the ICC Men's World Cup Super League, which India have won 2-1. Gentlemen, where are we with the players that are perhaps peripheral to England's 50-over side? We've had a couple of looks at Rhys Topley. Sam Curran, obviously, has done himself no end of good whatsoever. Liam Livingstone is another name who has thrown his hat in the ring. All three have attributes that Owen Morgan and the England 50-over team like. Who for you has really sort of furthered their cause?
Well, Sam Curran, for me. I mean, I think the rest of it, yeah, we were just talking about after the second one day, we have Wokes, Archer, Wood. I think they're the preferred three seamers in my book. And then you've got Moeen Ali and Rashid. So there's your five bowlers. Obviously, you've got Ben Stokes, who's your all-rounder. But now Sam Curran, I would say, he's definitely cemented his place in the squad, 100%. He's probably gone ahead of his brother, 100%. But after that innings, I'm finding it very difficult. I leave him out because he's proven under pressure, bowling at some of the best batsmen in the world, and that's Rohit Sharma and Shikhar Dhawan and Virat Kohli. But he can do a job for England with a new ball as well, even in Indian conditions. The ball swung around. He made the ball swing. He's got good slow ball. And as I said, I've seen this kid play in one-day cricket for Surrey, and I've seen him in the IPL, and he is good at bowling at the death. He can bowl over the wicket, he can bowl round the wicket, he can reverse it. He's got a good slower ball. He's quicker than you think as well at times. So he's got all the attributes to be an absolutely fantastic cricketer for many, many years. And the more experience he gets, IPL last year did him the world of good. To be backed by Chennai Super Kings, a team that are always in the finals, and open the batting and opening the bowling. Wow, you're saying that to a young kid. There you go, mate. You're opening the batting and opening the bowling. They must rate you.
Yeah, Goffey's covered off Sam. I think Livingstone's done himself no harm. He's come in and really wanted to play in that positive fashion, played good, strong shots, scored at a good rate. And with the 2020 World Cup and all these things revolving around India, because he bowls a bit of spin and he can spin it both ways, yes, he's a part-time spinner, but that is another string to your bow that I think will be a very, very good addition for him. And I think they'll squeeze him in somehow.
Rhys Topley, Kate, is... pace isn't everything, is it? Bhuvaneshwar Kumar has proven that. Does he have what it takes to be a real weapon for England with his left arm angle and extra height?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Again, I think he's another name that's not done himself any harm in this series. I think the beauty for England is that they've got another 2 years to suss out this team, this one-day team, and there's a lot of cricket to be played in that time. A lot happens in 2 years. We might be talking about completely different names by the time that 50-over World Cup comes around. So that's a really nice place for the likes of Owen Morgan and Silverwood to be in, that they've got people putting their name in the hat now to be in that starting 11 in 2023 when that World Cup does come round.
Do we think that Owen Morgan is going to make it to the next World Cup?
I think he wants to, doesn't he? There's no indication that he wouldn't, whatever capacity he is there in that. Maybe, I don't know whether he does go into more of a coaching role. I've not heard anything to suggest that he wouldn't want to be playing in that World Cup. And he does seem to be the real cement that this team is growing around, isn't it? So I think the fact that he's not been involved in the last two games is also a confidence booster for England that they won that game without him in the second ODI, and they came close today. So it's, you know, it's not always the Owen Morgan show.
For sure. I just wonder, because there were rumblings that he might think about giving it away after winning the World Cup at home in 2019. He then sort of looked at the calendar and went, well, you know what, I fancy making us T20 international champions as well. If that doesn't go the way that England want and he wants, do you think that perhaps there's a chance that Jos Buttler might be the captain for the next half of the cycle to the 50-over World Cup? Or do you think Owen has the desire and the fitness to see it through? I mean, would he be 36 by then?
I can still see Owen playing T20 cricket for a while. And I think he's still got a big part to play in that, the way he plays, the way he captains. The 50-over, I don't think he'd be that big a miss. He's a fantastic captain, a fantastic player. But you look at the talent we have got now in that form of the game. And what is it, 2 years away, the next World Cup? I just think T20 is still got a massive part to play. 50 over, it's down to him. If he thinks he can keep motivated, if he thinks he can keep fit and play to it, so be it. Because he's got the right to call it when it's time to go, hasn't he? I mean, what a fantastic record he's got as England captain, as an England player.
Yeah, and I think it was a couple of years ago we were in Sri Lanka and the vultures were circling saying, is Owen Morgan, is he gone as a player, blah, blah. I've seen nothing but him get better in the last 2 years. Mm. I think he's taken all his experiences and he's thrown caution to the wind and he's gone back to playing as he did when he burst onto the scene. And I think as an older, ageing player, you do that, you become even more valuable because all the experience you've built up over years, then you put into practice with a bit of the sort of initial crash-bang wallop that youngsters have. You marry that up with some intelligence and a bit more know-how. Wow, that becomes incredibly valuable. Plus, is for me the best England captain I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, I certainly wouldn't argue with any of that. It's just whether or not 2 years is a long time when you're in your or getting towards your mid-30s, as all of us but Kate know. Anyway, we'll park that for now. Ben Stokes at number three. I mean, it seems churlish to ask this question, really, because we know the answer. Joe Root's going to come back and bat number three. Does Ben Stokes find himself in a position at number four? Are they going to keep him down there at five? What happens, and what would you do with the man from Durham?
It's such a difficult one, is it, with Ben Stokes? He's such a fantastic cricketer. He can play anywhere. I'm sure he'd love to bat at one, two, three. That's where his preferred option will be. But I think realistically he's going to be down at either four, five or six. Let's be honest about it. They could go in any order. I think it all depends where Owen sees himself in the side. I do think that Jos Buttler is someone down the order who can be destructive, as we've seen from Rishabh Pant and Hardik Pandya. Jos Buttler can play those sort of innings, so I think he's the one who can play better. I think Ben Stokes needs time at the crease. He needs to adapt to the pace of the pitch, adapt to the bowlers, and then he becomes very disruptive to the opposition. So I'd like to see Ben Stokes as high up the order as we possibly can get him.
I think naturally if Joe Root's coming back in at three as well, you've got Milan to probably sit out. He's not played much in one day international cricket, so there you've got the four slot open up for Stokes potentially.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, you know, that one thing that we all know in white ball cricket is that everybody wants to bat in the top three, don't they, when the ball is new and pinging off the bat and the field's up. And let's not forget, Ben Stokes won England the World Cup batting at number five. And number six, he does have the ability to change his game there in the middle order. I guess England's problem is an embarrassment of riches at times, despite the fact that they've lost this series 2-1. What about India? They've obviously been far superior in the five-day game. They perhaps unexpectedly won the T20 series, having gone behind in that one. They look to be finding some players to fulfil roles, fulfil death bowling roles. Rishabh Pant just looks like a world superstar to me, and he gets in every team in the world at the moment, the form that he's in. They are going to be a real handful at home in that T20 World Cup, aren't they?
Absolutely, Butch. And I think what I've been impressed by India in this old white ball series is that they have not been afraid to give their younger players a chance. They've backed them. They've put them right in at the deep end under pressure against the best team in the world, that is England, in white ball. And they've delivered by beating England in the T20 series and the 50-over series. No matter who he's brought in, they've delivered. And it's going to be some pick, isn't it, to pick their starting 11 and where they go. Because, like I said, Jadeja's to come back. I think Bumrah's to come back. And I think Shammy's to come back, who all could play a part for them in 20 overs or 50 overs. So, but what it has done, it's created competition for India, as well as we've got competition for England, and that's what keeps everyone on their toes. And that's why, come October in that World Cup, it's going to be an absolute belter, because I can't pick a winner. I don't know about you, I cannot pick a winner.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I think the big thing is there ain't many teams around the world that have the situation that England and India have, where they're still unsure of what even squad they're going to go with, let alone the starting 11. Most of the teams, you're within sort of 12 or 13 that are going to get picked, and then you're 14, 15, 16 in the squad, it's kind of like, well, we'll get them in somehow. There's no real dramas there, because these are the 12 or 13 that are going to win it for us. England and India, we've seen in this 2020 series and the ODI series, it's probably about 16, 17, 18, where you're saying, well, hang on a minute, what about the argument for this guy and the argument for this guy? And you could give a feasible argument. If we were sat over the river there in the House of Commons, it'd go on for days and days and days, the argument of who you'd be picking.
Well, they need to pay us better expenses, surely. Kate, I mean, the Indian squad, that again has been shown over the course of England's tour to have players that can step in. You know, Jadeja hasn't bowled a ball or lifted a bat, hasn't walked across the rope in this series, and they barely missed him. You know, the strength coming out of that country at the moment is pretty frightening for the rest of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what Bats was just saying there, it creates headaches, doesn't it? And I don't know whether, as a selector, I'd want those headaches. Sometimes it's easier if you have got your 11 or 12 that you know are going to be set to play. But I guess it gives you the luxury of being able to pick on form when it gets a bit closer to it. We've still got the IPL. We spoke a lot about that. There's 2 months of cricket for people to play. Things happen, like I said, injuries happen. But yeah, it's a great position really for India to be in. And they've really excited me in this series and the T20 series, actually. Giving some young lads some... Well, we say young, then... I mean, we were talking about Suryakumar Yadav as a young lad, and he's a 29, 30-year-old who's just come in and not got much experience. But yeah, it's just been great to see, and it's been a brilliant series, and one that we've probably really needed with the state of the world at the minute. I know we talk about how luxurious it is to have live sport on, but it's just been great to watch, hasn't it? And the fact that it went down to the last over of the final game just summed up the series for me, and it was great to be a part of.
Certainly was, and we enjoyed having you. Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow, without any question, the most feared opening duo in world cricket. Does that sometimes mean that the middle order kind of are not quite as in tune to kind of get into the battle? They're kind of expecting to walk in with the game done. Does that create a bit of a danger for England's middle order, that they're expecting the whole thing to be over and done with, because Johnny and Jason will take care of it all for us?
I don't think it does when Joe Root's in the lineup. I think that just breaks it up a little bit. I think Johnny Bairstow and Jason Roy are going to be feared around the world without a doubt. But then if you have Joe Root coming at three, and then you've got the luxury of Stokes and Butler and Morgan And then whoever comes next, I mean, it's just a lottery, is it? Whether it be Livingston, whether it be Billings, whether it be Sam Curran, whether it be Wokes. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But I think Joe Root just knits that team together. But those two are definitely feared. Roy and Bairstow all around the world.
I think it's possibly shown in this series that Root is a massive miss. He is that guy that you can sort of rely on just to do the stuff that maybe doesn't grab the headlines, that allows you to get over the line, the nitty-gritty. And he never lets you down. He never gets out sort of 15-50 or 20-20. When he's in, England know that he's going to carry on playing and allow the guy coming in or the guy at the other end to keep smacking. He is the Coley, the Williamson, the Smith. The very best teams around the world have that quality, absolute quality above anything, that allows some of the modern way of playing, the modern thought process, to actually come out possibly.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because when he plays, he doesn't get the headlines, but now he's not playing, he's getting all the headlines because he's not playing.
Hey, spot on, Kerry, because do you know something? I can see it 50 overs, he's 100% missed. I don't think there's even a question mark in my book. I've always said it. T20, I'd still like to see him in it, but you can now see with the talent we've got, you could possibly see him not getting picked in that T20 side, which would be, we'd all be going, wow, we're leaving one of the best players in the world out. But they could cope without him in the T20, although I'd like to see him in it. But 50 overs, I think it's vital that he plays and knits that side together.
And I think, sorry, Butch, one more thing. I think when you're then talking about Owen Morgan missing out, I think he is quite a similar player in that respect. He's very good at reading the game situations, and both of the Root and Morgans, for me, they put their egos aside a lot of the time and they play cricket based on what is in front of them. And they don't get the headlines, like we said, and it's not massively flary innings that, you know, we're watching for days on YouTube and stuff. But they are the real key parts of that team that will get missed when they're not there for long periods of time.
Yep, Sam Curran has just picked up the Player of the Match award for his 96 not out in that valiant run chase towards the back end of England's innings. It's interesting you mentioned Owen Morgan and Joe Root. I mean, Goffey, I think that if I'm picking a team for a T20 World Cup, particularly in Indian conditions, if Joe Root's not in the squad, I'm very, very unhappy.
Oh, I am too. I'm just saying, but yeah. I want him in 100%, Joe Root. But I can see, but we have got enough talent and guys who want to bat up there, like your Ben Stokes, who's ended up in a position at number six where we're not getting the best out of him. So it's just such a difficult choice, isn't it? And it's what you go for. It's what Owen Morgan goes for. 50 overs is 100% in the team. I think it's down to Owen Morgan whether he plays in T20 or not. It's whether he thinks he has Stokes at three or he goes for Root at three.
Interesting. Johnny Bairstow has been nominated Man of the Series. Let's hear from him.
Two or three overs, all of a sudden the game is even further in front than what we should have been.
Didn't have the best of test series, but it takes a lot of mental strength to come back in whatever format it be to score the way you did in the other format.
Yeah, obviously we know how difficult it is over in India. I wasn't the only one not to have scored a lot of runs in the test series, but like you say, to come back and strike the white ball in two different roles was really pleasing for myself. And like Sammy mentioned, to now going into the IPL, it's to have a lot of confidence and hopefully lead on from there.
You've been batting outside the crease when Bhuvneshwar Kumar has bowled, and today he brought the keeper up. What did that make you do?
To be really honest with you, obviously we know Bhuvie's skills. I think going outside off stump is a better way of counteracting that. I think if he's bowling in swing, and then it's got to hit you pretty much perfectly inside in line to then go forward. And we've had a bit of a conversation about it, and obviously we play together at Sunrisers. So, no, I'll be facing him in the nets plenty more. Don't worry about that.
About the late order hitting from Sam Curran, yeah. The way he batted, what were your guys' thoughts there?
Yeah, it was special. It was special, wasn't it? I mean, to show the maturity that he did, to take the game so deep, and then obviously you mentioned about the hitting was really special, but I'm sure he'll be as good as anyone because he's played out of his skin there, and we know the quality and talent that Sammy has, and everyone up there had an immense amount of belief that he was going to get over the line. But obviously credit to Natu for nailing his Yorkers in that last over.
He's one more guy whom you will be playing with. Did he actually send a message through the dugout that this is exactly what he's going to try because it was Sam who was going to be facing him?
I think everyone knows what Natu does at the death. It's a case of him executing it so well, isn't it? And yeah, like I said, fair play to him because if he was to miss, then there's not many people that I'd rather at the crease than Sam Curran, especially on 90 not out to put it to the short boundary. And I think that Sammy timed it perfectly because targeting that short boundary at the end, which is one of his strengths, was fantastic batting.
Well done on the man of the series. Cheers. And see you soon in the IPL.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Thank you, Johnny.
So England take man of the match for a decider that they've lost, and Johnny Bairstow man of the series for a series that they've lost. Can you work that out? How does Shardul Thakur not get in there for a shout at man of the series?
I think that was something special though from Sam Curran today. I know they're on the losing side, but what an unbelievable innings that! And I know they lost, but
what, man of the series, Johnny Bairstow.
I think Johnny Bairstow with the runs he scored. Yeah, it's a strange one. Listen, but he always goes to a batter, though, doesn't it? But you should know that from years and years of it. Yeah. Always goes to a batsman, the man of the match, man of the series. That's what happens, isn't it?
Fair enough. Let's hear from Virat Kohli.
The case again tonight, and we knew it's going to be a tough game. England's not going to throw in the towel at any stage, and that's exactly what we saw in the end. I think Sam played a really good innings to keep them in the hunt, but I think our bowlers kept taking wickets at the right periods during the second innings and made sure that we put enough pressure on them and eventually got into a situation where they had to get across the line. Before that, it was the other way around where we had to finish the game. So the mindset shifted very quickly in the last couple of overs, and I think Hardik and Natu were brilliant to finish it off.
You're always a very expressive captain. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. With those catches and the way the fielding was happening, was it disappointing for you because you set very high standards?
Yeah, look, it's most disappointing for the guy who drops the catch. It's a thing to understand that everyone wants to do the best out there on the field. As much as you get disappointed, you accept that this is a part of cricket. Catches do get put down. Sometimes they cost you, sometimes they don't. But I don't think as individuals anyone's putting less effort on the field. There's no lack of intent. So that's all you want as a captain. I think our body language was outstanding tonight, and we put the opposition under pressure through the innings and eventually ended up crossing the line, which is the most important thing.
Bhuvaneshwar Kumar up top for you. He's always been a bank. But Shardul Thakur, he's coming out as this new person to go to as a captain?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite surprised that he wasn't the man of the match today, to be honest. 4 wickets for 65 odd in 10 overs and picking up and scoring 30 off 20 balls. And Bhuvi, again, a big contender for man of the series as well, picking up 6 wickets at an economy of under 6 on these kind of pitches. For me, it's a no-brainer. And I think these two guys were the difference during those middle overs and with the new ball as well. So, yeah, I think they were outstanding and a lot of credit goes to them for the series win.
Any takeaways apart from these two, from this series and the entire series per se? Anyone whom you have handed a debut or has come in has done really well?
Well, Prasidh was very impressive. Krunal was very impressive in his first game. But I think the most pleasing thing was the depth of our batting. Even though we lost a couple of wickets early or through the middle overs, we still ended up getting big scores, which is a great sign for Indian cricket. And if the top three can contribute like we have in the past, get a big 100, then we'll probably get to those 370s and 380s pretty soon as well. So very exciting times ahead for us.
Yeah, it's about holding composure, isn't it, in nerve-wracking moments. And we mentioned that at the toss as well, the tenacity. I think that is something which has stood out every time India has been pushed back.
Yes, it has. It's been an amazing season for us and we wanted to finish on a high. This tour has been especially sweet and pleasing because we won every series and that's something that you want to do against a top team in the world. So we take away a lot from this season, go into the IPL again, an opportunity to play some expressive cricket, enjoy a couple of months and then back again on the road with this group of amazing guys. And it's been an amazing season and great way to finish it off.
Obviously, you go into another bubble, which is the IPL bubble. But a bit of a respite for the support staff who take a break now.
Yeah, it is. And as I said in a couple of days ago as well, scheduling is something that needs to be looked at in future, because playing in bubbles for so long, 2-3 months, is going to be very, very difficult going forward. And you can't expect everyone to be at the same level of mental strength. And sometimes you do get cooked and you do feel like a bit of a change. So I'm sure that things will be discussed and things will change in the future as well. but a different tournament, so it brings in fresh challenges now heading into the IPL.
Really well done again, Virat. It's been an exceptional series, an extraordinary series.
Celebrations for Virat Kohli and his team. I guess that the one thing as we look to wrap up here, Kate, Darren and Gareth, that will please Virat Kohli perhaps the most is that they've won a series in which they've won no tosses, haven't been able to chase at all. Virat Kohli hasn't done his preferred method of winning cricket matches. That puts them in great stead for when things actually do fall their way with the toss.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're winning matches, it doesn't matter whether it's your preferred way or not. I think he's spoken all his post-match interviews about his pride of this team and the pride of finding some young players like Tagore that he spoke about. And then you've got the experienced players like Bhuvneshwar who've come in and done what they always do. They'll just be in a really good place going into the IPL and then moving forward going into the World Cup in October as well.
Final thoughts, gents. It's been a wonderful series, great advertisement for 50 over cricket. What are your lasting impressions of what we've seen, Darren Goff?
Well, for me, Shreyas Iyer, Ishan Kishan, Suryakumar, Yadav, fantastically talented players that have come in to this Indian side, mainly in the T20s. We saw those guys. But they also got Shubman Gill, who's not had an opportunity in the one days to show his skills. And for England, I think you've got to give huge credit to, with bats earlier, Livingston, the way he's come into the team and the way he's played. I think a big pat on the back. And Sam Curran, he's put the marker down now. Very hard to leave him out of white ball cricket, whether it's opening the bowling, whether it's bowling first change, or whether it's batting and hitting boundaries and nearly seeing England over the line. So they're the highlights for me.
Yeah, I actually think that both sides should be absolutely congratulated because our great game has come out on top with no crowds in for certain games, but actually to be on the edge of your seat listening and watching on TV, for the spectacle to be as good as it has been, for the guys to be in these bubbles and still come out and play in a magnificent manner and entertain everybody. Let's be honest, we're in the entertainment business and I think both sides have entertained.
They certainly have. Thank you very much to Gareth Batty, Darren Goff and Kate Cross for their thoughts. It's been a pulsating three-match one-day international series. We certainly hope you've enjoyed it. If you've missed any, here are the highlights.
Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back to Urshel.
Oh, that's a great shot. A square drive, and that tells you how good this surface is.
Rashid again, a little bit short, and there is no fielder this time, and that is just smashed away for four, and that brings up Shikhar Dhawan's 50. It looks a bit, should be, but it's brilliant from Adil Rashid. If you can't get him LBW, you bowl him.
Beautiful delivery from Adil Rashid.
Moeen's bowled Virat Kohli, and suddenly India, who were cruising towards a massive total, find themselves at 121 for three.
Pant is now playing a scoop to Adil Rashid.
That is outrageous.
Livingston, full toss down the legs. I do not believe it. And it's a piece of filth, really. King legend Rahul is on his way back as Hardik tries to destroy Moeen Ali. And yes, lo and behold, it's disappeared over mid-wicket for six.
Wow.
Hardik goes high and hard again. That's going to be six more.
And that is another fabulous 50 from Rishabh Pant.
Oh, wow. This fella, Rishabh Pant, is some player.
In again. Oh, and that's brilliant. That is brilliant from Jos Buttler. Rishabh Pant has gone for 78.
Hardik Pandya has walked away across the stumps and has been bowled.
Bowman's pin dispatched. Dangerous? Yeah, absolutely right. Wood in wide of the crease and he knocks him over. There you go. And that is the end of the Indian innings. 329 all out.
Bhuvneshwar Kumar has bowled him. There you go. He's bowled Jason Roy. Well, what a comeback that was. What a first over.
What else have I done?
I don't know. You know, I did a singing contest. Sing if you can. I won that.
What was the block? What was the...
Sing if you can.
What was
through the wall.
Through the wall. Then.
Bring on the wall.
You had to win.
Oh, dear.
Things you do for money.
Full toss. And Ben Stokes has smashed it straight to Shikhar Dhawan at backward point. You had to wear some sort of silver gimp costume, didn't you?
Silver foil, yeah.
looked like a stuffed chicken with an helmet on.
Pecora is in for his second over. The first went for 8. That one's nipped back, taking Butler on the pad. The really wants it, Shardul Tagore. Wickets is hitting.
That's down the wicket by Livingston, and it's smashed over log on for 6.
In again.
Oh, and that's straight back to the bowler, and he's given it away, Livingston. And what have been a very good 60-run partnership comes to an end for England.
In again, this time he's short. Oh, it's short, and Darren Millan has pulled it straight to mid-wicket. And perhaps Darren Goff, that is that as far as this run chase is concerned. And Moeen Ali drills this, but straight to mid-off, and the catch is taken by Hardik Pandya. Sam Curran is swinging this very hard and handsome into the leg side. Natarajan goes in. Adil Rashid swings into the leg side, gets all of this, and it's a 1-bounce 4.
Wonderful shot. Screams off, like Vivian Richards in his pomp.
And goes, oh my goodness, he has smashed that field out.
A huge 6, 92 metres that one, Butch.
Curran again, it's short this time. Curran on the back foot, hits it. Oh, he's hit it over mid on. He's hit it over long on for 6. It's gone 7-8 rows back. And England need 23 runs to win. Pandya goes for the stumps. Mark Wood has a massive swipe. And he's going to go. It's been dropped. I do not believe it.
That is an absolute sitter.
In goes Natarajan. It misses the Yorker again. Curran drills it down the ground. But Virat Kohli celebrates. Sam Curran has done his reputation no harm whatsoever. But in the end, it was too much even for him to pull off. And India win the third and final one-day international by 7 runs in Pune.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.